I'll read the verse and the translation again. At that, this is chapter canto 3, chapter 15. Thanks for putting that on. Text number 37. At that very moment, the Lord, who is called Padmanabha, because of the lotus grown from his navel, and who is the delight of the righteous, learned about the insult offered by his own servants to the saints. Accompanied by his spouse, the goddess of fortune, he went to the spot on those very feet, sought for by recluses and great sages. So for those who listen to these classes on the internet, will not deprive them of Srila Prabhupada's purport, which is the real nectar in this class. Srila Prabhupada says, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord declares that his devotees cannot be vanquished at any time. The Lord could understand that the quarrel between the doorman and the sages was taking a different turn, and therefore he instantly came out of his palace and went to the spot to stop further aggravation, so that his devotees, the doorman, might not be vanquished for good. So the Lord's intention there is to make sure that his devotees are not vanquished by the anger of these saintly personalities, who do have the potency to vanquish someone when they become angry. So you can imagine how even more serious it is that one makes a devotee of the Lord angry. That's even more serious than to make saintly people in general angry at one. So, and of course that is the mood of this particular chapter. We're learning to be very careful of Vaishnava apparat in particular. What to speak of, you know, which includes being very careful not to insult saintly people in general, which means that even neophyte devotees who may not necessarily be yet full-fledged devotees, still they're considered saintly, and we should also be very careful how we deal with even young devotees. It's very dangerous. So here we see the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his devotees. So we read a couple of texts from describing Jiva Goswami, explaining how the Lord went there because the Kumaras were disturbed, angry, because they had been prevented from seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. So the Lord went there to show him, show them his lotus feet. And that's to, you know, to pacify them. And in that way, also to protect his devotees from being vanquished by their anger. And as described here, the Kumaras, their saintly personalities, they've been meditating upon the impersonal Brahman, and yet we see how kind the Lord is to anyone who, you know, is associated with his devotees to some degree or another. And Srila Prabhupada, whenever there's a discussion you know, on these matters of the Lord's kindness, he always mentions that we should always understand how kind the Lord is to those devotees who surrender to the Lord and preach Krishna consciousness. So, you know, here these Kumaras, they're meditating upon the impersonal Brahman. Even though they may have understanding of Vishnu or Paramatma, Generally, the impersonalists consider, you know, which is very offensive to the Lord, but they consider that that Paramatma feature that they may meditate upon in the heart, or even the Bhagavan feature that they may sometimes also meditate upon or visit in the temples, they perceive that those forms are a manifestation of the material mode of goodness, and that there's sort of an artificial temporary manifestation which is opposed upon the actual reality of the absolute truth, which is Brahman. So even though they sometimes meditate upon the super soul, or they may even go to temples. I mean, sometimes you see these yogis, they hold up a picture of, you know, Radha Madhava in Mayapur, and, you know, you see sometimes like that. But their understanding, it appears that, oh, you know, that these yogis, these impersonalists are also devotees of, you know, the Lord. But, you know, their mentality is completely different. They perceive that that personal form of the Lord is a manifestation of the mode of goodness, sometimes even mixed with other modes, and that, you know, it may be a stepping stone or helpful for them to get into their meditation and gradually fix themselves up on the impersonal Brahman and ultimately achieve the Brahman. So, you know, that's the mentality of the Kumaras at this point when they approach the Lord. And yet, so kind is he, they're associated with his devotees, and for that they're actually getting, even they're a bit angry at the devotees, but still in that association they've attained the blessings of the Lord. How powerful is the association of the devotees? And those devotees who are trying very, very hard, with great determination, to preach Krishna consciousness, especially in Kali Yuga, which is a very, very difficult task. You can, Prabhupada always reminds us, you can only, you know, it's almost impossible to imagine how kind and how dear those preachers are to the Lord. In fact, you know, Krishna says it straight out in the Bhagavad Gita, that actually there will be, there is no one more dear to him than those who preach this message of the Bhagavad Gita, and nor will there ever be. So, therefore, we can understand that even, you know, young devotees, like ourselves, like myself, you know, on the beginning of the path of devotional service, just because we make a little attempt to preach, even though full of so many discrepancies and imperfections, still the Lord is very kind to, you know, devotees, even such as myself. When I was reading this, it reminded me of an incident that at one time I had been doing some home programs at one devotee's home, and they said to me, we're going to have an abhishek, you know, for we're putting some deities on the altar. So sometimes we do like a welcome. It's not an installation. It's like a welcome. Sometimes it's described that, you know, when you put deities on your home altar, you know, to begin the worship, the first worship is always opulent. You know, something special is a welcome. And after that, you just go to the particular type of, you know, worship, very simple usually for preachers. But the first worship is not an installation, but it's a welcome, and it's something a little bit more opulent. Yeah. And anyway, he said he was going to do that, and he said, I'm going to have it in such and such a day. And he said, would you like to do it? I said, yeah, I'd love to do that. It's for Gaurna Thai. And when he told me the day, I said, oh, I can't do it on that day. He said, oh, sorry, I'll get someone else. And I thought, but I really want to be there. You know? I'd really, you know, I enjoy being with the devotees, and, you know, it's a, there's a relationship, you know, that you develop with the Lord. And I just was like, whoa, okay. So he made an arrangement with someone else, and I just felt very sad that, you know, it's like, I felt, well, they're my friends. I'd like to be there in Gornatai, you know, get on the altar and like that. And because we should try and develop a mood of friendship. There's two different types of friendships, as mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. You know, there's the friendship that you have with the Lord, like Arjun. That's your rasa, that's your eternal rasa. But there's, as described in the Nectar of Devotion, there's a default friendship that everyone has, every living entity has. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the friend of every living entity, in the fifth chapter, text 29. So that is a general friendship. And Prabhupada describes in many of his lectures, the whole process of devotional service, we should try and have a friendly relationship with the Lord. Like that. Not his competitor. So there's that standard type of friendship. We should try to, you know, develop that friendship. So anyway, after about a night, a couple of days, and I, you know, this thing was still in my heart. I was sort of sad that I couldn't go there, and I had this dream, and I was going to this. It was like a big festival, and all the devotees were crossing through this park to this big home, big mansion on the other side of the park. And they're all going to this festival. I was sort of following behind, and as I walked through the park, on a pedestal, I saw Gornatai, these little deities of Gornatai. And I thought, why are all the devotees walking past Gornatai? It's like they're just going to leave them there in the park. And I thought, I'll pick them up and take them to the, you know, because they'll want to go as well. And because I was thinking, they want to go, they enjoy seeing the devotees as much as the devotees enjoy seeing them. So I was thinking, you know, they're going to miss out on seeing their devotees, like that. And so I picked them up, and I had one, they're about this big, I had one in this hand and one in the other hand. And as I was walking along, they both put their arms around my neck, like that. And they started saying things, you know, they're both talking to me and talking to each other into my ear, you know, in this really sweet, like, little childish voice. And I was like, you know, I'm glad to see they're happy. So anyway, I took them there and I put them on the altar. So then I woke up. And when I woke up, I thought, it appeared that I took Gornatai to that program, but I understood this is like I usually carry a shalagram. And quite often people just say to me, oh, you brought the shalagram. And I said, no, the shalagram has brought me. So even though they're a little pouch, you know, we always understand whatever we do is actually done by the Lord. Because there are five factors, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. Any action is performed with five factors, the body, the soul, the endeavour, and the super soul. And sometimes that factor, that the Lord is actually the real doer, we forget. So when I woke up, I thought, Gornatai are going to take me to that abhishek. So then I was happy and I thought, I know that I'm going. So then after a couple of days, the devotee called me and he said, oh, look, you know, the other devotee, you can't do, all the devotee can't come on that day. And, you know, we can only have it on that particular day, which is the one day I could do it. And so he said, can you do it? I said, yes, I'd be very happy like that. So, but I knew I was going, you know, I knew because of that dream. But just, you know, this verse here, but the point is that even as it's not that we should ever consider ourselves to be, advanced or what have you, but we should always remember how kind the Lord is. That's and especially, you know, if a devotee does try to preach Krishna consciousness, you should understand that that is such an important task that even if we're insignificant, the Lord takes us as important. And that, that task of preaching, not only is that task, because it's the essence of all the Vedas, the Srimad Bhagavatam is described to be the mature fruit of the Vedic literatures because it teaches rasa. That is, the ultimate goal of all the Vedas is to develop, is to reciprocate rasa, or a transcendental mellow flavour of loving devotional service in one of five different rasa. All the Vedas ultimately are bringing us to that point. And the Bhagavad Gita is also bringing us to that point. And but that confidential knowledge of all the Vedas is unknown throughout the whole world, even by people who follow the Vedas, even by great saintly persons, even by yogis, even by people who read the Gita, even by people who read the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is very rarely understood. It takes millions and millions of lifetimes, and still, if someone comes across that understanding, they're very, very rare and very, very fortunate. That is described by Krishna. So the task itself is extremely important. Apart from that, it's actually service to Srila Prabhupada, who is one of the dearmost devotees of the Lord. Here we see even the Kumaras, even they've come across the doorman and there's some anger, still the benediction they got from that association. What to speak of those? And now, Srila Prabhupada, he is Brajabasi. Brajabasi, the residents of Vrindavan, is the most confidential amongst the devotees. Even throughout Vaikuntha, confidential position of the Brajabasis is held in the greatest esteem. So we have the opportunity to preach, which is important itself, but we, in doing that, we're actually personally serving Srila Prabhupada, serving Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Biji Basan, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Krishna Das Kaviraj, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So by that preaching, we actually have the opportunity to serve all those great personalities. And because even the most menial service to such personalities done, you know, trying to please those personalities, even if it appears to be full of fault or, you know, very insignificant or what have you, Krishna takes it as extremely significant. Practically, you cannot please Krishna in a greater way than to serve his exalted devotees. So, in this way, we can take a few points here to meditate upon how kind the Lord is to the residents of Vaikuntha. What to speak of those residents of Goloka Vrindavan, and what to speak of the residents of Goloka Vrindavan who come to the material world in the midst of Kali Yuga and preach Krishna consciousness. And even the servants of such personalities attain the grace of the Lord. So very, very kind. Here he's described that he is called Padmanabha because of the lotus grown from his navel, and who is the delight of the righteous. So these teachings of the Gita, here these Kumaras, when they saw Lord Narayan, they understood that we've been meditating upon this person, Lord Narayan, as the super soul within our hearts, but we've always considered the Lord actually to be impersonal, that this is just a material imposition on the actual absolute truth of Brahman. And now they're seeing that here is that person that actually Bhagavan, who appears as the super soul within everyone's heart, whose bodily effulgence manifests as the impersonal Brahman, actually that Bhagavan feature is not a manifestation of the material modes of goodness. So that they personally saw. Therefore they understood that in fact it's not the impersonal Brahman which is the source of the material manifestation, but Padmanabha, the Lord, expands as Mahavishnu and then appears as Garbhadakshay Vishnu within each and every universe, and from his abdomen comes Lord Brahma, and Brahma becomes a secondary creator of the material universe, and then that Lord expands as Shiradakshay Vishnu, as a super soul within the heart of every living entity and within every atom. So he understood that that is why he's described here as Padmanabha, that you are the source of material creation. I was thinking you are just a manifestation of the material creation, but you are actually Padmanabha. You are glorified as Padmanabha, literally the source of material creation. And that teaching is the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. That is what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching. If someone, generally there are many lessons in the Bhagavad Gita. People take many different things from the Bhagavad Gita, but the one thing which the ultimate lesson, which generally no one takes, is that actually Bhagavan is the cause of the creation, maintenance and destruction of the material manifestation. That's the ultimate lesson of the Gita. And therefore, if you want liberation from the material creation, you must surrender to Krishna. That point, which is actually the ultimate teaching of the Gita, which is the essence of all of the Vedas, that point no one takes from the Gita. They would take so many different things. I always says this. Sometimes you go to people's homes, they have different quotes from the Gita. And they're all backwards and mixed up and, cut and pasted to whatever they desire to want to be in the Gita. But that point, you don't see, there's all these pious sort of statements. That point, you won't see, in a nice carved wood carving with gold inlay, Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. He is the cause of the material, spiritual worlds. Let us all surrender unto him. That point, everyone misses. And that is the ultimate. And when the Kumaras saw Lord Narayan, they understood this. You are Padmanabha. You are actually the cause of the material creation. Like that. This is not manifestation. The super soul, the three Vishnus, the three forms of the super soul of the whole material energy, Mahavishnu, the super soul of the whole universe, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and the super soul of the individual living entities, Shiradakshay Vishnu. Those three forms of Paramatma, the super soul, are in fact manifested from Narayan, the Supreme Lord. And when the Kumaras saw him, they understood that you are not a material manifestation. All these things are factually coming from you, and you are the absolute truth. So if one can help people to understand that message of the Gita, then they can be liberated. Because you can talk philosophy with people, you can talk so much philosophy, but if they can't understand that I will never get out of the cycle of birth and death until I surrender to Krishna, if they don't understand that, all that philosophy is useless. you know, it's helpful, it's sort of interesting, you know. They might lose a bit of karma and gain some piety. But if you want them to get out of the cycle of birth and death, they have to come to that point. But Krishna is the cause of the material manifestation, creation, maintenance, destruction. If you understand that, you will instantly be eligible to be freed from the cycle of birth and death and go back to the spiritual world. And that is the duty of a preacher. Anyway, we'll leave it there. If anyone has any questions or comments. Yeah, just the best thing is to associate with devotees. As we were saying, you see the benediction the Kumaras got here. They didn't even quite recognise. Generally, people, you know, we even don't recognise ourselves the glories of devotee, you know, especially those who are preaching Krishna consciousness. You get the full mercy of Krishna just by associating. You don't even know what you're doing. Therefore, but it's described by Vishwanath Chakrabarti the core that just as you achieve agyata sukriti by associating with a devotee unknowingly, so sometimes people you know will associate with devotees who are preaching, they gain spiritual piety. But he says that you can also gain spiritual debits by unknowingly causing offence, even though you don't know the person is a devotee, or you know the person is a devotee, but you may think they're not a very important devotee and you cause some offence. So even unknowingly, what to speak of knowingly causing offence. Here we see with the Kumaras, as described by Vishwanath Chakrabarti the court, they saw the Lord. You can imagine the benedictions. He came there to benedict them. They saw the Lord's devotees. They saw Vaikuntha. But he says because of their offence, by becoming angry at the devotees, they were eligible to attain love of God, but only to the point of dasyaras. Because of their offence, they were not permitted to go beyond that. So, you see, one has to be very careful. That sometimes it appears that, you know, I know when I was speaking with Bhakti Bhai Baba, that devotees were saying, when we discuss these chapters about offences, they say, devotees are causing offences all the time. It doesn't seem to really bother anyone. And but they don't realise that everything is taken into account by Krishna. Knowingly or unknowing, everything is taken into account. And, you know, it's not that sometimes devotees commit aparads, and because they have so much devotional credit as well, like the Kumaras, or they have, you know, credit as saintly personalities, and, you know, there's a little immaturity on their behalf and what have you. So the Lord's not going to smash them to pieces and take... He actually went there to give them opulence and, you know, benedict them as devotees, but only to a certain point. And sometimes what happens with us as devotees is that we think that everything is going nicely, even though we're committing aparad, but actually we stay on the same point lifetime after lifetime. You know, we can appear to be doing quite well according to our aspirations, but as far as developing that very elevated, pure love of the Brajavasis, that remains elusive. And therefore there's that verse... Bahujama Kalyari Shravani Kirtanam Tabutana Paya Krishna Tabi Paripremadanam. That one may chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for many, many lifetimes. Many, many lifetimes. They're chanting amongst the devotees. We will not get love of God in. Or you may, you know, have the credit to get it to some point. You go back to Vaikuntha, what have you. But to get that Brajavasi, prema bhakti, that is not so easy. And as long as the Vaishnava apparatus is there, it will remain elusive. So, you know, it appears sometimes that, oh, you know, everyone's committing offences, who cares? If you want Krishna prema, that person will care. If you're happy to live as a pious devotee and just, you know, go on and you've got plenty of prasadam and, you know, you've got a nice service, a nice position, what have you, then that's okay. But if you want Krishna prema, that person will be very dissatisfied. So we associate with devotees, but we do so taking the warning from the Srimad Bhagavatams. You know, everything is possible. All things are achieved by association with devotees. And actually, if you see in Nectar Devotion, there's one paragraph there. Prabhupada describes the entire process of devotional service from the very beginning of when they, you know, Gaura Sakriti, they just associate with the devotee, and know the devotee, right to the point of prema bhakti on the highest level, and at every point he shows how it's dependent upon the mercy of a devotee association. Imperative. It's not that you get to some point and, oh, I've associated devotees enough, I'm up to Nishta, I'm up to Ruchi, so, you know, association done, finished, you know, I'm sort of got a bit of a momentum on that. No. To get to prema bhakti, at every point, you are dependent upon the mercy of the devotees and the mercy of Krishna. Like that. So that is the secret, to associate nicely with devotees and everything, you know, one's whole devotional life will blossom. Very nice. And we'll just leave it there, 8 o'clock. Okay, Hare Krishna. Jai. Ah, so yeah, I had to finish that.